First Thessalonians chapter 3. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass, as you know. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you, and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you, and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, and that you always longing to see us, just as we also long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live, if you stand firm in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and make complete what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another, for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning.
Recording in progress.
As the youngsters go downstairs for children's church, I invite you to turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 3 and 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Seven years ago, the Lord impressed on my heart the need to preach a series of messages on the important biblical principles of personal relationships. I did indeed preach that series at that time. Now, years later, the Lord has again impressed on my heart the need to cover these important truths as a reminder and refresher to those of you who heard it then, and as an introduction to those of you who were not here then to benefit from them. Not only is forging strong, loving, personal relationships crucial for a successful and God-honoring marriage and for happy families, but it is especially absolutely necessary to understand in order to have the kind of personal relationship with the Lord that brings joy, fulfillment, and blessing in your life and the lives of others who interact with you. God is clear in his word that he intends for every saved person to have a joyful, fulfilling, blessed relationship with him. Over the years, I've talked with different individuals, and very often I find that those who claim to be Christians are kind of doing it kind of by rote, you know, mechanically. And, you know, they say the right things, be in the right places, and so forth, but there's no personal relationship going on with the Lord. I pray that this series will change that in your lives if you recognize yourself as one of those. For many years, I labored under the misconception that developing a relationship with other people and with the Lord was something that either happened or it didn't, and there was not really anything you could do about it. I also noticed over the years that some people seem to have a really easy time forging personal relationships. Others had a harder time, and even other people seem to be completely missing that gene in their personal genome. However, I also realized that God did not write one Bible for those who related well to others, and wrote a different Bible for those who didn't relate well to others. I've also realized over many years of studying the Bible and counseling that to some extent, the family you grow up in will either help you develop your ability to form personal relationships or will hinder your ability to form personal relationships. I've also realized that you are born with a unique personality type that will either tend to help you form personal relationships or will tend to hinder your ability to form personal relationships. Does that mean that you can sit back and say, ce n'est pas ma faute? It's not my fault, if you want to do it in English. It's God's fault for not giving me a personality type and family background that enable me to form godly, loving personal relationships. Is that what we can say? Absolutely not. Because God's grace is more than enough to overcome your weaknesses. As the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. That's the testimony of the Apostle Paul. And that should be our testimony as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 further says this, and God is able to make all grace, what is grace? New Testament? Enablement, God's enablement. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. So as you can see from just these two scripture passages, whatever you lack in natural ability, God is more than able to enable you by his power. God's grace is more than enough to overcome your weaknesses. You may also be tempted to say, it's not fair that others have an easier time forming personal relationships than I do. Keep in mind that if you have a harder time with relationships than others do, you will also have the greater privilege of experiencing God's amazing grace, overcoming your weakness in this area. Also, keep in mind that God is fair and that to whom much is given, of him much will be required. From those for whom relationships are easy, God will require more in each of their personal relationships. As the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, from everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. Perhaps you may be tempted to say, well, who cares about relationships anyway? I just won't bother with personal relationships. Well, there's a big problem with that for one overarching reason. God expects you to develop a personal relationship with him. That's why he created you, and that is your ultimate purpose. God will not let you get away with ignoring this or avoiding this. He will have to bring difficulties into your life until you humble yourself and acknowledge that you need him and begin to work on your personal relationship with him. God changed the Apostle Paul from someone whose personality was not relationship friendly to someone whose heart was filled with love for the Lord and for others. Saul the persecutor, although highly intelligent and educated, was rigid in his thinking and saw things in black and white and as a formula and was obsessed by one thing, to stamp out this new religion which he and his fellow Jews called the Way. But God took hold of him on the road to Damascus and transformed him into a humble servant and messenger for Christ and filled his heart with the heart of Christ and a hunger to develop his personal relationship with the Lord. Notice what Paul wrote in Philippians 3:10. If you haven't opened your Bibles yet, Philippians 3, verse 10, would you do that right now? Philippians 3, verse 10. Notice what Paul wrote in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, speaking of Christ, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. As Paul's relationship with the Lord began on the road to Damascus, God transformed his heart with Christ's love to the point that Paul could write this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Wow, that's the epitome of care and love and tenderness and relationship, is that of a mother with her newborn baby. Can everybody picture that in your minds? A mother with a newborn baby. Some of you have been there. And some of you have been close to those who have been there. But I think you can see that what Paul was writing is that Christ transformed him from a non-relationship friendly person to one who could care this much. My prayer is that the Lord will use this message, and because we can't cover everything about this in just one message, that he will also use the next 5 or 6 messages to follow in the series to be a help to you in beginning this important journey of learning how to nurture a personal relationship with the Lord and with others. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've just introduced this message and really the series right now, we ask, Lord, that you would use what we will study this morning and in the Sunday mornings to follow to enable those who are having difficulty in this area to understand your wonderful grace, your enablement to be what you want them to be, and to have that personal relationship with you most of all that will enable them in all their other human relationships. I pray now, Lord, that you would use me as your messenger. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, that was all an introduction to this series in general and for this message in particular. Let's begin our study of godly relationships then by asking this question. What is the main goal or purpose of developing a relationship with someone? Since our relationship with God is the most important and vital relationship we should be concerned with, what is the main goal or purpose of entering into and developing a relationship with God? We find the answer to this question in both the Old and the New Testament. We're going to look at several passages here. So would you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 9, Jeremiah chapter 9. We're also going to look at John chapter 10 and then back to Philippians 3:10. So just for this point, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24, if you have trouble finding these passages in the Bible quickly, then just listen, okay? I don't want you to miss it because you're flipping through the Bible and you miss it. So Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. And then in John chapter 10, verse 14, the Lord Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Then back to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. I think you can guess from these three passages I just read for us that the goal and purpose of developing our relationship with the Lord is in order to get to know him, truly and fully know him. He already knows us fully. Our goal must be to get to know him as fully as our finite being is capable of knowing him. Because truly knowing God enables us to truly love God. And that is God's purpose in creating man and then redeeming man when Adam fell. Notice what God commanded his people Israel in the first few chapters of Deuteronomy. So would you turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy? We're going to read three different places in Deuteronomy. So turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And then Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and always keep his charge, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments. And then Deuteronomy 11, verses 13 and 14. It shall come about, if you listen obediently to my commandments, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, that he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early and late rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. And then verses 22 and 23. For if you are careful to keep all this commandment, which I am commanding you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. You cannot love God as he deserves to be loved unless and until you know God. But once you begin to know God and love God, you begin a personal relationship with him, and that relationship brings joy and fulfillment. I hope you don't mind my using a personal illustration, but I met my sweetheart, who is now my wife, Brenda, when we were 16 years old, and I've loved her since I was 16. Now I'm 67. Let's see, do the math. That's 51 years. Okay. What's very interesting is that I was attracted to her at first. She loved the Lord. She had a bright smile. You could tell that she walked with the Lord. And I just was attracted to her as a 16-year-old. But, you know, I didn't know her. But the more I got to know her, and that took time, talking, being with her, and I got to know her, then I started to love her to the point that I then asked her to marry me, and she did. And we've been married for how many years now? Let's see. Anyway, math is just not working right now with a little sleep. But anyway, the point is, the more you know a person, the more you can love them. You cannot love someone you do not know. Okay? Some teenagers think they can, but no, you can't. Okay? You can be attracted to them. There's something about them that, you know, resonates, but you don't know them. Therefore, it's not love. Okay? But in order to love God, you must know him. Now, the only other personal relationships that we must concern ourselves with, other than our relationship with God, is with our relationships with other human beings. Sorry, animal lovers, relationships with pets do not count. Please say it with me. People are more important than animals. Can you say it with me? People are more important than animals. That's really turned around today. Anyway. So let's ask the same question we asked about our relationship with God. What is the main goal or purpose of developing a relationship with others? Actually, the answer is the same. To know that other person truly, fully, which will enable you to love that other person with Christ-like love, which in the Greek New Testament uses the word agape. How many have ever heard the word agape? Okay. That's simply the Greek word for that selfless, sacrificial, giving love. Sometimes in the King James Version, it's translated charity, but because of the giving aspect of it. But it's simply that agape love. Now, This is what constitutes a personal relationship. So notice the words of our Lord Jesus recorded by the Apostle Paul, Apostle John, in John chapter 13, verse 34. The Lord Jesus said this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." That word love is agapao, which is the verb form of agape, the noun. "That you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Did we get that commandment? Do we understand that commandment to love one another? Okay, John chapter 15, verse 12, the Lord Jesus said this, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." That same kind of sacrificial, selfless love. Let me add this important distinction between our relationship with God and our relationships with others, because a human relationship is a relationship between two finite beings. It must be a mutual getting to know each other. Remember, with your relationship with God, He already knows you completely, fully. It is our job, our goal, our purpose to get to know Him more and more each day. Now that we've nailed down the goal or purpose of developing a personal relationship with God and with others, the next question is this: how can this goal be attained or achieved? It must begin and continue through communication. Communication. This communication is somewhat different in our relationship with God compared to our relationship with other human beings. So we'll examine first our relationship, in fact, our communication with God. And then we'll examine our communication with others. Now you see why it's going to take seven messages? Okay. All right. So with that in mind, let's examine first our communication with God. God communicates with us through His Word, the Bible. He does this in two ways. The first way is as we read the Bible in its entirety from Genesis to Revelation, through Revelation. When we do this, we get to know what God is like through His directly quoted words recorded by the men He chose to write the Scriptures. We get to know what God is like through His actions, again, recorded by the men He chose to write the Scriptures. We get to know what God is like through the words He caused His prophets and apostles to write down. All of these God uses to reveal His character, His love, His will, His purposes, His power, His wisdom, His trustworthiness. You and I get to know what God is like. We learn about Him. We also then learn what we are like, our sinfulness, our lost condition, and our need for His redemption, His salvation. We learn of His wonderful plan of salvation accomplished through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He offers it freely to all who will humbly repent and trust in Christ alone to save them from sin and hell. We learn that we must first of all know Him as Savior. When we repent and trust Him to save us, then we enter into a relationship with Him. God is now our Heavenly Father. Christ is now our Lord and Savior and friend. We sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus." As you get to know the Lord better, you will understand the words of that hymn more and more. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. In fact, why don't you turn there with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. When that new birth takes place by repenting of your sins and trusting Christ as Savior, the second way God communicates with us through His Word, the Bible, is as the Holy Spirit illumines us as we read His Word. Reading through the Bible initially before you were saved may have seemed like reading a very ancient letter from God, but after you're saved, reading God's Word is like reading a fresh letter from Him sent by email, so to speak. The Holy Spirit highlights something from the Bible that you are reading today and seems to whisper, that's for you. I cannot tell you how many times that has happened to me to guide me in decisions I needed to make. I've mentioned this on many occasions because it changed the course of my life and my plans for the future. I had been struggling with God about the matter of preaching, especially since I did not like standing up in front of people and giving a speech. In my college freshman speech class, I pretty much was in a cold sweat and trembling the whole time I was up in front of the class speaking. I truly wanted to serve the Lord, but had decided that it would have to be something behind the scenes and not involving public speaking. So I pursued a broadcast engineering major where I would work with electronics and enable someone else to do the speaking. Well, one day I was reading in Exodus chapter 4 for my homework assignment, an Old Testament survey at Bob Jones University, my junior year there. And in my reading, I came to Moses' conversation with God, where Moses tells God that he can't speak publicly. Let me read for you Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." By the way, as I was reading this passage, I paused at this point and said in my head, "Moses, I totally empathize with you. That's exactly my problem too." Well, it was as if God said to me, "Read on, read on." Well, I did, and guess what came next? Verse 11. The Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I." Even I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. Now, please understand, I did not hear an audible voice, but the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "That's for you, Steve. That's what I will do for you too." Oh, listen, you may not be faced with momentous decisions like this one and have the Lord highlight for you passages like this, but He will highlight for you as a personal message for you some verse or passage of comfort and encouragement at a time when you are discouraged or depressed. He will highlight for you as a personal message for you some verse or passage of rebuke when you are tolerating sin in your life. He will highlight for you some verse that gives you guidance in a small or large decision you need to make. If you've trusted Christ to save you from sin and hell, then you have been born into God's family, and now God speaks to you personally through His Word. For the sake of time, we're going to pause our study here for this morning and continue next Sunday morning. But I hope that you will see the importance of letting God speak to you through His Word. He will highlight something in His Word as it is preached, and He will highlight something in His Word as you are personally reading it in your daily devotional time with Him. Look forward to hearing from Him and develop your relationship with the Lord by your attention to His Word. In just a few minutes, I'll close this message in prayer. So I would ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. As you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart about what we've studied from His Word this morning. We've been talking about a personal relationship with the Lord. Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? Has there been a specific time in your life where you realized you were a sinner, deserving of the punishment for sin against a holy God, an eternity in the lake of fire? As the Bible clearly tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've fallen short of His perfection. And Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. What we deserve for our sin is death, but not just physical death. Because Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15 tell us this, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And then Revelation 21, verse 8, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Praise the Lord, the good news of the gospel is found in the second half of Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, trusts in Him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. And Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 tell us, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him, trusts in Him, will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. My question to you is this. Has there been a specific time in your life where you recognized you were a sinner and deserving of hell, but you understood that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin? Did you then trust Him to save you from your sins and hell and demonstrated that faith by asking Him to save you? If you could not honestly and certainly answer yes to that question, then would you trust the Lord Jesus to save you right now? Would you call upon Him by asking Him to save you from sin and hell and place you into His family as He promised He would? John 1:12, but as many as received Him, that is, received Him as Savior, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. If you're not 100% sure that you're saved from sin and hell, would you let me know so that I can pray for you? I will not in any way point you out or embarrass you. I simply want to know so that I can pray for you. I will pray for you that the Lord will give you courage to talk with me. Let me show you from the Bible how to be saved, how to be born into God's family by faith in Christ. If you want to let me know, nobody's looking, and I won't embarrass you or point you out in any way, but you would like me to pray for you. By this, raising your hand, saying, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not absolutely sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone? If you're listening to this message on Zoom or later on our website and you want to make sure of salvation, would you contact me by email or texting me so that we can set up a time to talk so that I can take the Bible and show you how to make sure of your salvation? Now, to those of you who are listening to this message and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved from sin and hell, but you realize you have not been nurturing your relationship with the Lord, maybe because you didn't know how. But would you tell the Lord right now in your heart that you will commit yourself to spend time every day reading the Bible and letting Him speak to your heart and apply to your life what you're reading? If you want to confirm this in such a way that it would strengthen your decision and you would like me to pray for you, just raise your hand and say, "Pastor, pray for me." God bless you. God bless you. I am committing to reading God's word, letting God speak to me through His word. Would you pray for me? Anyone else? God, speak in my heart, Pastor. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have begun this series on personal relationships, especially with our relationship with You, and as we've begun this important aspect of our relationship, communication, I pray, Lord, that as we let You speak to us through Your word, that we will do that. I pray for those who raise their hands. Lord, I thank You for speaking to their hearts and impressing on their minds their need to start their relationship with You by reading Your word regularly and looking for You to highlight things that You want to apply to them personally. Lord, as we continue next Sunday with prayer, our communicating back to You, I pray that You would use that in our lives as well. Lord, may we truly get to know You better every day and love You more as a result. I pray, Father, for any who are not yet saved or not absolutely sure, I pray that they would not delay, but that they would make sure before the day is over. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.